right, welcome back in. By the way, fellas, we lost Shannon Sharp to ESPN. ESPN lost. They went ahead, shut him down there, Clint. Went ahead and parted ways there.
Ain't nobody got no money like Texas A&M.
2 weeks after a settlement was made in his case, old Shannon's out at ESPN.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I was wondering the approach that they would take because, I mean, it was successful for him when he and for them when he was over there on Mondays and Tuesdays with him and Shannon or him and Stephen A and all that, but they have gone the other direction. They said that was too hot for them to continue to go on. And interesting, it is just crazy, Clint. I mean, this time last year, man, he was one of the hottest commodities out there, and coming off the Cat Williams pod he did and all of that stuff, and then in a free agent and doing all kinds of things, controlling things much more. And now now he's in the space he's in. He's still doing stuff, but obviously too hot for ESPN to ride with.
Well, I mean, he's one of those guys that's in the same stratosphere, I think, from a social media perspective as Pat McAfee kind of deal, where, you know, maybe he doesn't have the stay in power or that level of following maybe that Pat has.
Yeah, but he was getting there. I mean,
he's definitely in the same, he's definitely in that world, right? There's a handful of people that are in that world, and it's interesting to see them part ways, but usually where I was going with that is the leverage that these guys have is one of which, hey man, if you don't ultimately give me what I want, then I can go back to doing my own thing and make stupid money on my own platforms, and you know, let me keep things quiet around me for 6 months and then watch these other major networks come calling. So that's the beauty of those guys. Again, there's a handful of them that have such a huge following that, you know, this is just a blip in the road, and they can literally tell guys, you know what, you don't like it, then kick rocks. I'll move on. And
yeah, he's
don't get confused on the YouTube kicks rocks. He's not saying that to you. Don't get your feelings hurt.
Great nickname though.
Yeah, he's as you said, he's continued to do the stuff on his own platform, but this was definitely a blow. Like, I mean, ESPN, that was going to be a big step for him to get to, like, the overall maybe McAfee in his own way type
well,
of situation.
Well, at least for now. I'll be honest with you, man. I'm a Shannon Sharp fan. I love the content. I'm not a big fan of him on TV. I think the Shannon Sharp appeal for me is the tell all, the I'll go places that nobody else is willing to go, and he has the ability to go places where nobody else will go and garner an answer, right? A lot of people go there and then people say no comment. He has the ability to pull that out of people, and he has the celebrity to go out and get the Cat Williams of the world and to stir things up. Like, to me, that part is more interesting, the more interesting Shannon Sharp than you know, the other stuff.
Yeah, well, but he worked on TV. Like, I mean,
no doubt he was getting it.
Yeah, people watched him and he worked on TV, but that situation was too hot for ESPN as they rolled through. Is Steve Smith still working? I think he's still working, isn't he? That just really died on down, didn't it?
You got to be crazy.
So I think Steve Smith just kind of rolled right through that thing, let it, as you said, die down for about 6 months. And I think I saw him with James Palmer doing some stuff.
That's that old seasonal talent, man, where you just, as long as it's far enough removed from the draft or from the combine or something, he'll be all right. People
that
will forget.
NBA season crept up and he's rolling through that baseball season. He's able to slide through it. I saw him talking about wide receivers the other day. I said, oh, Steve kept his gig. Okay.
Steve made it. He survived. Old buddy didn't find him.
No, guess not, or not yet. How about this, though, Clint, with the offensive line? We talked about kind of the musical chairs they've been having, and a lot of the competition is the word they like to use, and a lot of different guys that are lining up and being in certain places. It does look like, Clint, that we're at least starting to see, and maybe if you're seeing something different, but it does look like we're starting to see some continuity, at least with four of the spots, right? It seems like Cam Robinson, Lakin Tomlinson, Tytus Howard, and Arionte Ursary are, they the last several days in pads, they have been locked there. And then there's been more of a rotation at center with Jake Andrews and Jarrett Patterson. But it looks like they are starting to get to a point where at least four of those spots, those are the same guys that have been running out with the ones. Now, I'm not saying, as you said, pass protection was atrocious today. And overall, it hasn't been great. But at least they seem to be settling on four of the five spots.
Yeah, which I think is it's about time, right? I mean, again, we're 8 days, yep, seven practices in to, you know, the training camp. And look, I was having this conversation a little earlier with some guys at practice of, like, this notion or this thought, man, that, like, oh, it's a long training camp. They got a lot of practices. I mean, if you really break this thing down and you look at it from a we are installing an offense perspective, like, we're in the sweet spot. Right, I mean, once you start traveling, going to what is Green? What is it? Where they're going to practice?
Greenbrier.
And once you start, you know, preseason games, and when you start those games, your backup quarterbacks are at some point. Maybe it's only the day before, but it is one day where you got to kind of get them ready to play. And the actual travel days associated and the off days associated and then the actual preseason games, like, CJ's not going to get this. And I'm using CJ just because he's a starter, but the guys you're talking about, right? The Tytus Howards of the world, the Cam Robinsons of the world, the Lakin Tomlinsons of the world, like, those guys are going to get little to no reps, yep, on those days, right? Like, so when I'm talking about training camp and the importance of these reps, Ron, I don't mean to pull the conversation off into the weeds, but I mean, it's just like this is the sweet spot, man. You've got 2 weeks essentially to before preseason games start to where you can really get a ton of reps in with your starters, and then it's going to become this juggling act of preseason games and backups getting reps and travel days and this and that, rest days and you know, so the where I'm going with it all is just the notion of just like, oh, training camp's long, don't worry about it, which I've heard a lot when I'm talking about CJ. Like, I think it's almost laughable, right? If you really break this thing down, we are in the sweet spot of the Texans being able to control how long they practice, how many reps their starters get, do you go full speed, how physical are you, when are you repeating things. You know, these are really the workhorse days of training camp. We're dead in the middle of them.
Yeah, and to me, when we first initially saw it from OTAs and mandatory minicamp and the first days of training camp, Clint, I there was a chance, man. I thought, boy, they might be doing this competition thing for a minute.
Yeah,
there might be, because it would be from one team period to the next. Juice Scruggs might slide in. I remember one day you said Juice Scruggs did not get a first team, second team rep all day. And then the last team practice period, he's in with the ones. Like, so you thought this may be a while, which to me, I didn't love. You would hope they would get to a space where they know who the five are that are going to be the ones there. And they can play together, because these guys have never played together. They can play together and get some continuity going. It is good to see that they have reached that point, because we're not seeing as much Juice Scruggs coming out there at one of the interior spots. We're not seeing as much we hadn't seen Blake Fisher since really the pads have come on with the ones, really. And the only place we're seeing it is with Jarrett Patterson and Andrews, and I can kind of see that. So it looks like they have already arrived at that point. And to me, I like those four around him, right? I was hoping that Ursary and the upside and the physicality could find his way in the lineup. I didn't know which side, but I was hoping he would. And You know, it's hard to think that Cam Robinson what going to get in there with the amount of money he's getting paid this year. By the way, it seemed like, I don't want to put words in your mouth, it seemed like you're a little disappointed at Cam Robinson thus far in his
career. I'm not disappointed. I mean, look, I'll be honest with you. We did stock up, stock down earlier. When it comes to stock down, I mean, I think there's just few and far between. I mean, unless you want to get into the depth guys, the John Mechies, and boy, he's not making any contested catches. Did it again today, by the way. You know, there's some of that going on, but really, I mean, most of the guys that have potential to help this team win, most of them that are there, not the ones like you talked about Damian Pierce, like the ones that are there, I mean, they're having a pretty good camp. So, I mean, I'm not disappointed in Cam Robinson. I picked Cam Robinson just because I think, you know, early on, the heavy rotation with him at left tackle I thought was interesting. I thought he would be one of the Titus Howard, Lakin Tomlinson, Cam Robinson. Hey, we're going with the ones consistently. So I just had to pick somebody, to be completely honest with you on that. I'm not down on it. I think they'll be fine. I'm not down on either tackle, and I don't care if it's Blake Fisher or Ariante Ursary at this point at right tackle. Doesn't matter to me. I think we can help those guys. You know, we can help them with backs and tight ends and that kind of thing, to where they'll be just fine and CJ will be just fine behind them.
By the way, reports from John Paul Morosi of Fox that Justin Verlander is available on the trade market, folks.
Try to resist, Crane.
Oh man, Jim's out there. He's what? We could probably get him for a hell of a deal this time.
He's fiending.
Let's go. I will be honest, feel better about Justin Verlander than I do Jason Alexander, Colton Gordon. I was going to say Brandon Walter, but he's hurt. I feel better. I do feel better, even though he did go on a 16-game winless streak.